Oh, welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, and Chris, there's a lot for us to talk about regarding recent economic data and that data really having an impact on the U.S. markets and actually markets globally as well. We are seeing a little bit of a snapback today, but before we get into the moves just in the last, let's say, couple hours, I want to discuss the last really 2 days, and then including today, this weak data that has come into the U.S. and again made traders uneasy, and all the reports that you read about what is causing this data to move down. Everything that keeps on getting touched on seems to revolve around global uncertainty. What are your comments about just how weak some of this data has been and how the markets are really taking notice of it?
Well, the markets have had this Pollyanna-type attitude for a while that everything was going to be fine in the end, that we're going to have a trade deal with China, that the Fed will come to the rescue, you know, even if it's not completely willingly. And reality just bit by bit starts to set in, that the economy globally is already in recession in many places. We're getting dragged down into that same direction. We're not in recession now. We aren't going to be in recession this quarter necessarily. But when the Institute for Supply Management Services number came out this morning, it, like the manufacturing number the other day, disappointed pretty dramatically to the downside. Now, unlike the manufacturing number, which is already well into contraction territory, we're still a bit north of 50 for the services, and so that does show some growth. But the worrying part of it, besides the number being lower and continuing a downward trajectory of that number now for about the last year and a half, you had some upward pressure on prices, but the continued downward pressure on new orders. So a little bit of stagflation light, if you will. So this, you know, the cumulative effect of all of this, and particularly the weaker services number being added and casting aspersions over whether this time around the predictions of a modest drop year over year and third quarter earnings might be too optimistic, unlike the first couple quarters of the year when there were modest drops predicted and the companies did better. Now the reality, I think, is setting in that corporate earnings are going to be worse than the consensus has been, and that probably is the icing on the cake for all of the weakening economic numbers and what it means for stocks.
Now, Chris, let's talk about this back and forth, or, well, I guess it's more of a one-way conversation that we have with Trump, where he keeps on blaming the Fed for not lowering interest rates fast enough, and that's what is causing all this weakness. But again, you read over these reports and the recent data, and businesses are pointing to global uncertainty. That's why they're not spending money. And in all fairness, they weren't spending money even before these trade wars happened, but now with the new tariffs on European goods, these trade wars have only gotten worse, and it makes sense that companies are worried and unable to spend money, and another 25 or 50 or 100 basis point cut, I don't think, is going to spur that. But what do you have to say about this really narrative that Trump is trying to portray?
Look, candidate Trump had it right before he became President Trump, and that was when candidate Donald Trump pointed to the fact that the Federal Reserve, and running zero interest rates for as long as it did and embarking on quantitative easing, created unsustainable bubbles. And he specifically said the stock market was a bubble. That was when he was candidate Trump. Now that he's President Trump, he's invested in the fate of what the Fed has already done and what it's going to do going forward. I've used the analogy many times in the past to Jimmy Carter, who to this day is the president who's got the worst bum rap in history. When Jimmy Carter was blamed for the stagflation and weak dollar and high inflation, and then later on the high interest rates to stop all that, when in reality it was Richard Nixon taking us off the gold standard and unleashing Arthur Burns on the world, who was the Fed chairman under Nixon. That was what set the table for everything. Carter inherited that mess, and he got blamed for it when the mayor hit the fan even though he had nothing to do with starting it. Likewise, Donald Trump knows that whether it's his fault or not, and it's not, that when inevitably the bubble loses more air and when the Fed pushing on a string doesn't work anymore, and even if the Fed did cut rates faster, it's not going to move the needle on the economy. He knows, even though that this happened before he came on the job, he will get blamed for it. Gleefully so by an establishment media that hates his guts in the first place. So he's trying to push back and blame anything and everything he can, whether it's the Fed for not lowering rates fast enough. The level of the dollar has less to do with that than with the stresses in the world, which I've talked about, also set in motion before he became president. Now, of course, in the last few days, he's added another bogeyman, and the fact that the stock market is wavering is the Democrats' fault for this cockamamie impeachment inquiry. So he's going to deflect as much as he can, and a lot of people will buy that, you know, because it's not like it's coming totally out of left field. There is some truth to what he's saying, even if he doesn't understand currency policy.
Okay, now let's also just talk about tomorrow, too, and the jobs data that is coming out. We saw a little preview to that jobs data yesterday, which did prove to be a bit weak, especially with the revision downward. How important is the jobs number tomorrow, do you think, for the markets to close out what is turning into kind of a nasty week?
Well, it could be a trifecta. We'll see, Corey. The ADP number yesterday wasn't that bad. The better-than-expected number for last month was revised downward a bit. The actual number that came out yesterday, 135,000 jobs, was actually 10,000 above what expectations were, contrary to some mistaken reports I've seen. So,
okay,
you know,
yeah, Chris, let me just jump in there. I saw it as 5,000 less. So what was the disconnect between the reporting?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are looking at too many different markers and too many different predictions, and one will use one and one will use the other. The point being that the slowdown in job growth has been fairly identifiable, but it's not been dramatic. The JOLTS numbers still show well over 7 million jobs in the U.S. that are needing to be filled. Even if the new job gains each month are down into the 125 to 150,000 area, whereas they were a while back higher than that. That is still a level that most people consider as keeping the relatively full employment situation right now pretty stable. So I don't know that we're going to see any major surprise. Now, if you had a real stinker of a number, everybody would panic and say, gee, we're slipping into recession faster. I don't think anybody expects that, but we'll find out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we will. And I think we all agree that it will be watched very closely, a lot because of just how weak everything has been recently. What about the market reactions today, though? It's been a pretty interesting snapback. At one point, the Dow was down a couple hundred points, I believe, but now it's, well, right around even. It's actually down about 44, but it had peaked its head in positive territory. The S&P is about, well, even for today. So what was kind of the rebound today?
Well, it's pretty comical. You know, first of all, with the Orange Wonder, there's never a dull moment. The House Democrats are trying to get him in trouble, and even with the so-called inquiry over impeachment, over him supposedly asking Ukraine to interfere in our election, he came right out and blurted out before he got on an airplane for Florida to come visit me down here that he says China should investigate the Biden family. So this guy, he never gives up. And this part of the reason that I heard stated, I think it might be a bit of a stretch, was that the Dow, which had been down 330 points at the low, rebounded partly because, gee, if Trump is willing to make a deal with China, if they'll investigate Biden or say they're going to investigate it, gee, maybe there's going to be a deal. So the markets are constantly wanting to grab on any little thing, silly as it might be, to believe that we're going to have a deal with China, which we're not going to have one of any significance, but they haven't quite all figured that out yet. The other thing, too, of course, after the market's initial reaction and plunging on that weak services number, as everybody said, hey, wait a minute, that means the Fed is going to lower interest rates this month after all. So we've gone from, I think 10 days ago, a 25% chance or 30% chance of yet another rate cut by the Fed this month, to, as of a little bit ago, 93% chance of a rate cut. So everybody said, oh, goody, the Fed will lower rates. But they'll rethink that because, as I've said for a while, we're getting into that territory right now where it shouldn't be, oh, goody, the Fed is lowering rates, but, oh, my God, the Fed is lowering rates.
All right. Well, let's just wrap it up then, Chris, with portfolio management, because one thing that is definitely kind of taken people by storm, I think, is the downtrend in the U.S. equity markets. We've even seen yields move down. It's been more of a move into safe havens, except for the fact of the U.S. dollar, which has actually sold off, and it's selling off more aggressively today, now below that 99 level, not fully broken down or anything, but it's been a bit of a disconnect where we've seen gold rebound, bonds rebound, and the dollar move down. Is that a trend that we can hang our hat on now again for at least some more short-term directions?
No, not where the dollar is concerned. The dollar is still well within a very well-defined upward trending channel that it's been in for about a year and a half now, nearly, Corey. And when I see the dollar index go below about 95.5 to 96.5, that area, that will break that upward channel. And if that technical breakdown comes with a far more aggressive Fed and with some, and I don't think this is going to happen, a legitimate, decent deal with China, which is going to take the heat off of trade, then I'll say the dollar has peaked. But until then, the dollar's uptrend remains intact. The reasons for it, and again, they recently especially have had less to do with the weakening of the economy than they have had with the fact that you've got these stresses I've talked about repeatedly of late in global markets that continues to keep upward pressure on the dollar. So, you know, the fact that the dollar, after this tag team of lousy ISM numbers, has dropped, I think, less than a point from its new peak for 2019, to me means virtually nothing yet.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think anybody getting too bearish on the dollar right now is taking their own biases into why they're saying the dollar needs to be heading down, because
exactly
it is
right. Exactly right. Now, you took the words right out of my mouth. You cannot start with a preconceived notion from the Pied Pipers or the Gold Bug Echo Chamber or the scaremongers telling you time and again that the dollar's toast. You have to look at the evidence in front of you and then make a determination which way it's going. You're absolutely right.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Good chatting with you. Thanks for giving some, I believe, level-headed comments as we've been through a pretty crazy week with the economic data taking hold of the markets and a lot of the bears now saying, look, I'm right, we're going straight down, and there's a lot at play right now. But now we get to wait for the jobs number and see where we close this week. Chris, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your day.